You know, if I asked you to name a famous inventor, it probably wouldn't take very long before the name of Thomas Edison would arise. Now, Mr. Edison had a strong influence in our society. He invented the light bulb, which now a form of it lights our auditorium. Not exactly the same, but same principles. He invented the method of distributing electricity to our homes. For those who love music, he invented a way of recording sound so that it could be played back at later times. He invented motion pictures. He was busy. He was involved in a lot of things. And when asked what was his key to success, he stated that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. In other words, his success came about because of his persistent effort. And it was said that when he worked, he literally forgot everything else. He would forget to eat. He wouldn't remember to sleep. He was oblivious to the passage of time. He focused on what he was doing. And the reason I'm bringing that up is from our scripture reading that was in Luke chapter 13. In Luke 13, if you look there again in verse 23, Luke 13, verse 23, the question was asked of Jesus, Lord, are there just a few being saved? And his answer to that is, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You have to desire heaven. But desiring is not enough. You have to want it so badly to seek it, to put effort into it. And you know, that same answer is to the question of faith. When James talked about what really is faith in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and in verse 14. He said, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith, but without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when he received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Do you really have faith? Then the question ought to be, then how do you show that faith? What are you doing? Now, in the denominational world around us, there are a large number of groups that perfectly deny that there's any effort on man's part to be saved. But they're like the one who just sits back and says, well, God's doing all the work. I don't have to do anything. Where's the striving to enter in? When someone misses services, for the least reason. Where's the effort that's being put in? Or the times we gather here to study. When people don't come, what does that say about your faith? What are you demonstrating to other people? You know, we try to get handouts for lessons and tell people in advance what we're going to study. But when people don't study in advance, what does that say about your interests? Would you expect someone else to reach heaven with a similar attitude? Suppose someone was in a competition and went to the meetings in regards to that, but they were often late, they never practiced. Would you expect that person to win the competition? Take a look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way, not as beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. It's the same point. If you see the amount of effort that you have to give for a game or a competition, why do you expect an entrance to heaven takes less effort? There are too many brethren that we know that are in danger of being disqualified because they aren't seeking God, not with their whole heart. How badly do you want to reach heaven? Sometimes you look and you say, I wonder if the person really cares. They expect as if it was going to be easily gained. But notice Paul's request to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of the Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, so that you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, Timothy was a preacher. And yet, at the same time, Paul says you're not to allow your youth to be an excuse. He was to be diligent in these things. That it literally means to keep on practicing those things. He was to give himself wholly to those things. A.T. Robertson, in his commentary on words, he says this phrase is equivalent to being up to your ears in these things. Adam Clark says it is being fully absorbed in these matters. And to what extent? Well, Paul says so that it's evident to everyone that you're progressing. Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light shine before men, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Is our life as a Christian shining out? Is it evident to all around us? It's sad that sometimes we see far many digressing instead of progressing. But Christ died for a people zealous for his will. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And in verse 14. Talking about Christ who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's the type of people Christ is looking for. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're the product of God's effort. We are created as Christians for the purpose of doing good works. That's the purpose that we have here in life. God's not looking for wimps who are looking for an easy way into heaven. He's expecting us to put effort into it. And for us to sustain that effort, then we have to persevere. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. It's so easy to get into habits. It's so easy to get into a rut. But we're going to gain the objective of heaven if we do not grow weary. If we don't get tired of living the life Christ expects of us. And so going back to Titus, this time Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently so that those who believe God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable to men. We have to be careful to maintain the work that we're putting out forth. And part of the problem probably comes about is that we really don't reach our goal in this life. We want heaven, but we don't see it until after this life is over. And so it becomes so easy to let life distract us, to get caught up in daily activities. You know, Satan lures us with sins that just take our eyes off the goal. But we need to remember those who blazed the trail before us. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises. But having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And if indeed they were had been thinking of the country from which they had went out, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You think about all the promises. We talk about the promises given to Abraham. Abraham didn't receive most of them. Yes, he received a son, but he was promised the land of Canaan. That didn't come until 400 years after his death or more. He was promised descendants innumerable. What, by the time his death came about, there was a handful. He didn't see the fulfillment of God's promise. But that didn't matter because he trusted what God promised. And he really wasn't looking for a land here on this earth. He was looking for heaven. And that's the attitude that we ought to have as well. Heaven is only reached if we are persistent in seeking it out. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed to all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. If we hold on. And we have to remember also the warning that Ezekiel gave. Take a look at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 24. But when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery which he had committed, and his sin which he had committed. For them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. See, life is not a game, you know, like you play one of those video games where whoever receives the most points. As long as we got more positive points than negative points, then we win. Life is about who we are. Not who we were, but who we are at the time that we die. We could have been a wicked person. That's what we count on. We become Christians, and all the past is left behind. But God says it's absolutely fair, it's just, it's right to say the same thing about righteousness. We could be a righteous person, but if we at the end leave it, then God looks at who we are, not who we used to be. The reason we gather here is for each of us is so that we might persevere, that we might reach our goal. In Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. You know, springtime's hit. Flowers in our gardens look beautiful. But what happens when you cut a flower? It looks nice for a while, but in a few days, a week, it starts looking a little wilty. You know, when brethren don't study, when they don't attend the studies, when they don't attend worship, they cut themselves off from the very thing that sustains them and that nourishes them, that keeps them going. In fact, in that same chapter, look at down at verse 37. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Which shall it be for you and I? Are we going to hang on and reach that goal using every effort that we can to seek out God and Christ, seek out our heavenly home? Oh, it would be so horrible to miss it just because we didn't put in quite enough effort. I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, we offer an opportunity for you to come forward. To let your desire be known, we have a baptistry that is available. For those of you who are children, God would like to pray as your brother on behalf. Again, we make that opportunity available to you. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song Selected.